Evening all. Evening. Welcome to our Lent course. Good to go, but don't go quite yet. But it is great to welcome you and to welcome Glenn. Welcome Glenn back. Glenn has come and spoken for us before, preached at Emmanuel and spoke for us at the Langley's dinner that we had a few years back. So it's great to welcome Glenn back. Just before, I just thought I'd ask Glenn one or two questions. But before I do that, I just thought I'd say, because a number of you will be concerned about Pat Brayshaw, who was taken ill on Sunday. So we had ambulance out the front and all that sort of thing. She is just back home, but a bit concerning. So she was taken into hospital, but so it was a bit concerning and still is. So please keep praying for her, but she is back home. Her daughter-in-law, is that right, is with her, Andrea? Is that right? Yeah. So it'd be good for us to pray for her. In fact, why don't we do that now before I just interview Glenn? Heavenly Father, we pray for Pat. Please, would you be very close to her at the moment? Pray, please, for her to be safe at home. And pray for doctors to be wise as they seek to work out what's wrong. And Father, we pray, please, for that you would help Pat to know that you are close to her. Would she know you as her shepherd and as the one who provides for her? And therefore, Father, please help her not to fear. Amen. Great. Well, welcome to Glenn. Glenn, why don't you have that microphone and I will...
Okay.
I'll go for this one. There we go. Glenn, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's great to have you back here. Tell people, for those who don't know you, a little bit about yourself. Okay. Very open-ended question.
Yeah. I am Glenn. I'm married to Emma. We've got a daughter, Ruby. We live on the south coast in Eastbourne. Shout out to Eastbourne.
No. Woo!
Yes. And... no one in Eastbourne says woo, but yeah, you might crack a rib or something in Eastbourne. Eastbourne is the Costa Geriatrica. It's a lovely place for me to live because you can be a young man long into your 50s in Eastbourne. So I feel much older when I leave Eastbourne. And I work, I'm an ordained minister in the Church of England, so I'm okay, I'm kosher, but I am...
Hang on, that's no guarantee. No.
Compared to what I'm about to say, I'm also an evangelist. So, yeah, that's pretty scary. So I try to dampen it down with the, it's okay, I'm safe, I'm Anglican. But, yes, when I say I'm an evangelist, women sort of clutch their purses tighter to themselves, men kind of stick their jaws out, because, you know, we get a bad rap. We get a bad rap, us evangelists, but, yeah. But that's my job.
Lovely. Now, when you did a little advert for us on your phone, did a video, and at that point you were in Durham.
Yes.
Doing their mission. Just tell us a little bit about that.
That's true. You got to see inside the marquee, so that they rented out this massive marquee. It held 700 people, and we pretty much filled that every lunchtime and evening throughout the week. And we got hundreds of non-Christians along to hear about Jesus, so that's pretty cool. And every evening, I would interview somebody with an interesting Christian story and then preach off the back of it. And it was phenomenal. There were loads of people. You never know. Like, when the sower sows his seed in Mark chapter 4, that's Jesus' picture of evangelism. And there's some seed that sort of falls among the path and the devil comes and snatches the word away. And there's some seed that falls among the thorns and it gets choked instantly. Even though instantly there's joy, but also they get choked back. And then there's the seed that falls on the rocky soil. And again, there's this instant kind of reaction to the gospel. But then they don't have enough roots. And so they... you know, wither away when persecution comes. And then there's the fourth soil type in which the seed, the word of God, really takes root and brings a crop. And so Jesus expects us to have a look at, you know, the reactions to our evangelism, and he expects that there'll be a lot of people who instantly are very joyful about the gospel, but won't always have the roots and won't always go on. But it's always encouraging to see that instantly there are lots of people who are very rejoicing in the gospel, and we don't sort of put notches in our belt or, you know, claim salvations or anything like this. But a lot of people were saying they wanted to follow Jesus for the first time in February, which is wonderful. And my favorite story was actually a guy who came to the Christmas carols, which they hold in the big cathedral in Durham. And he came along just on a whim. A friend invited him. And just he said, you know, just hearing John chapter 1, Jesus is the Word of God, he thought, If God is like Jesus, he said, I'm in. And he said, I prayed that night that Jesus would reveal himself to me, and he really did. And I've been devouring the Bible. I've been going to church every Sunday. My life changed on December the 12th, 2016. And so that was lovely to see that sort of a couple of months on. And let's keep praying that there's lots of people who've heard the gospel in February who are right now devouring the Bible and going to church and getting established as disciples.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you said, when we were talking earlier, that you sort of sense there is a bit of a change nationwide. Is that right in terms of the students and what's going on in terms of their missions? Is that right?
Absolutely, in terms of there's this entrepreneurial spirit to students and this kind of go-get-em attitude that says, why not? And there have been a lot of experiences of Christian unions who have had difficult relationships with student unions, which in so many instances has just meant that the Christian union have decided to, let's not book the student union, let's think outside the box and let's put a marquee in the middle of the quad. And just and in so many instances you've seen sort of CUs having encountered persecution, having to think again and realizing they don't have to do things the way they've been doing things. And actually the Lord's been opening up wonderful doors of opportunity. Christmas carols have been an interesting example of that, where Christian unions had been holding just little events in December and getting 100 people along. Now they're kind of phoning up the cathedral and saying, can we come to you, and getting 1,000 people along. And there's lots of examples of things like that, where people are just thinking larger and praying bigger as well. I was really impressed. I did Birmingham, Durham, and Belfast, Queen's University Belfast, in February. And all of them had some kind of 24/7 prayer movement behind them. In Belfast, it was the entire week before the mission. They had people praying 24/7 for the entire week before that. Durham had something very similar. Birmingham had something very similar. So, a lot of prayerfulness, a lot of entrepreneurial spirit, and a lot of God just opening doors and doing stuff. So it's exciting.
Which is wonderful to hear. Mm. Great. Well, we're looking forward to you teaching us for Good to Go. Can I pray for you?
Mm, and
please. Then I'll hand over to you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for those stories that we've just heard of people hearing the gospel and believing. And Father, we do pray for those hundreds of non-Christians who heard the gospel in Durham, that many of them would have turned to Jesus and would be good soil, would persevere, would keep on in your word, and even when hard times come, that they would keep going, trusting you. And Father, we praise you that for news that amongst students, certainly it seems like there's a change, there's a difference, and we pray that would be your spirit at work in people, and that many, many non-Christians would be turning to Jesus. And we pray that wouldn't just be true for students, but would be true throughout the whole country, that there would be a big change, that people would be more and more open to hear about Jesus and put their trust in him. Father, we pray for this evening that you'd bless us as we meet and as we think about the gospel and ourselves going out and taking it to those we're with and those we love. And we pray that you'd bless us in that, bless this evening, and bless Glenn as he speaks to us. Amen.
Amen.